Hello, I'm Peter Thiehuis. I'm a guitar player from the Netherlands, and I'm honored to be a guest in the Follow Your Dream podcast of Robert Miller.
Everyone has a dream. Robert Miller is a musician who had a dream to become a rock star. He followed his dream, and he succeeded. If you're ready to pursue and succeed at your dream, then listen up and get inspired and motivated to take action today. Welcome to the Follow Your Dream podcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the award-winning Follow Your Dream podcast with listeners worldwide on every continent in 200 countries. I'm Robert Miller, your host. My guest today is superstar Dutch guitarist Jan Akkerman. His fan club includes, listen to this, Queen's Brian May, Eric Clapton, Carlos Santana, Steve Vai, and Al Di Meola. How about that? He first gained international fame with the prog rock band Focus, which had several hit singles. And in 1973, he was voted the world's best guitarist by the readers of Melody Maker. He's released over 30 solo albums, and he's worked with artists like Jack Bruce and B.B. King. Can't get better than that. And in the middle, Jan and I are going to do what I call a song fest. I've asked him to send me a handful of his best works. We'll play a little bit of each. We'll talk about them. You'll get the backstories. And nobody else does this in podcasts. And you know that I like to feature a song of mine in every episode, underneath the introduction and at the end, and I always try to make it relevant somehow to my guest. Well, in this instance, I'm going to feature my new single. It's called Lose Blues. It's actually not a blues, but I just thought that that rhyme worked really nicely. Why did I choose this? Well, it's a fusion song. And Jan has been known to play a bit of fusion himself. So I thought that it worked. So Jan Akkerman, welcome to the Follow Your Dream podcast, baby.
Thank you. Welcome too.
Exactly. So listen, we talked before. You know, I've been to Amsterdam. It's a great city. But you're in this little place called Volendam.
Yeah, but I'm born in Amsterdam, right?
Uh-huh. Okay.
In the Jewish quarter, right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
On one of the canals.
It's a wonderful city. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
But tell me a little bit about Volendam. Tell me what you said before we started here.
Well, it's a Volendam. It's famous for the story with a finger in the dike, right? And for also its dressing and the way they dress up. And it's very musical people, you know. The word no isn't known here, you know. Not for sale is not known here, you know. Anything is for sale.
It's a beautiful little town, I have to say.
Yeah, it is.
All right. I like to pick out unusual facts about my guests. And one of the facts that I picked out reading about you was that you started out on the accordion. Is that right?
Yeah. That was the national air conditioner.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, I was 4 or 5 years, or maybe a little bit younger even. Before that, I played the zither. It's an Austrian instrument where the third man, Orson Welles, you heard this film, you know. Uh-huh. And I started banging on it with a spoon and, you know, detuned the whole thing. And this is how I got screwed up on the guitar later on, right? Yeah. It's called a zither. And then I discovered my father said, you got to play like Johnny Meyer. And Johnny Meyer was also a world champion accordion player. And he played the buttons. So I had to play the button accordion, not the clavier, but buttons.
Not the one that opens and closes, you mean?
No, it's like the first air conditioning, I call it, right?
I see. I mean, but you're 3 or 4 years old. How'd you even hold the thing? It's got to be, these things weigh a ton.
It was a small one.
A kid's version, huh?
Yeah, it was a Skipper clavier. It's made for fishermen.
I see.
And it was diatonical, which means that if you push the accordion in, then it was one tone lower. And then it was mouth, it was one more up. So it was pretty difficult to play.
I can imagine. You know, I've had one other accordion player on the podcast. It's a guy that maybe you know named Nils Lofgren, who plays with Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
And with Neil Young. And he started on the accordion as well.
No, it's legal too.
All right. So you found classical music. You listened to a guy named Julian Bream. Am I correct about that?
Well, in those days, my mom used to play a lot of French chanson. And, you know, like opera, operette. It's more that kind of school which infected me to play the guitar the way do in focus. It's a kind of fusion you wouldn't expect, but that's, for me, the type of fusion I like. And that's why later on you start to get interested in more in guitar, especially Julian Bream, because I was in England in the studio with Focus. And I went to the old Volvo. I had an old Volvo there. I went through the tubes there. It's an area near Chipping Norton, where we recorded stuff. And I came into a special place. It was like Robin Hood just sprung out of the car, right? And I opened the door, and BBC played Julian Bream there. And it was with his concert. I said, wow, I recognize this. Because if you remember Amsterdam, you know, maybe you saw the Rijksmuseum and the old paintings from Judith Leister or Jan Steen or whatever. On every painting, there's a lute. So somehow I made the connection between lute playing, guitar playing, etc. You know, and the harmonies were so beautiful and open that actually restored my faith in music. But when I heard the announcer say, this is the Julian Bream concert, and he played the lute there, and I thought, well, on every painting in Dutch paintings, there's a lute as a symbol of love.
Isn't that interesting? I had another guitarist on the show, Andy Summers, who played with the Police. And he was telling me that one of his favorite guitarists of all time was Julian Bream. So I was very interested to hear that he was influential for you too.
Was that Andy Summers?
Yes.
I played with him in the days of Focus. He was still in a band called Stone the Grass with Mackie Bell.
Okay.
And we were in the somewhere in the middle of London in the old, whatever, we stayed there in a hotel where also Jim Henson, the Muppet Show guy, and you know, the same hotel. And he used to come over and we should sit down and play Bach and all that kind of stuff. This is how I know Andy, through Colin Allen. And Colin Allen was a drummer after Pierre van der Linden.
Fantastic.
And Colin Allen played the Hamburger Concerto with Focus. Yeah.
All right. So you've mentioned Focus a couple of times. Let's talk about that. That was the group that kind of introduced you to the world. Tell me about your recollections and your feelings about Focus all these years later.
Oh, that's too many. There's too many. Actually, it's so much information that they're even writing a book about all that stuff. And it's called Autobiography or something like that. Biography about Jan this, Jan that. And all this stuff is mentioned. It's too much to mention.
All right, but give me one memory about Focus. Give me one memory.
Central Park. In the mayor, we played the Veld Forum, you know, Rockefeller Plaza as a center. And then we were invited to do Central Park, two shows, sold out shows. And when I stood there to do a solo piece, all the buildings around the Central Park, they closed down, you know, all the lights went off. And then when I started playing solo piece, then the name Focus came into the windows, which is, to me, was wow.
That must have been fantastic.
That's the stage, you know, that's Great, grand.
Yes, the Central Park, the Sheep Meadow at Central Park is one of the great locations for concerts. I mean, everybody from Simon and Garfunkel, and I'm trying to think who else, Barbara Streisand. Were you guys the only ones on the bill, or, you know, were there other acts on the bill as well?
No idea. But I think we were the only one at that special day. I think it was in the before the weekend. It was sold out. It was a rainy day concert. First concert was sold out. Rainy day concert as well. Yeah.
That's a fantastic thing. All right. So what'd you do after Focus broke up, or you left them? Tell me about that.
No, I got sacked by Van Leer.
Serious? I didn't hear that. You got sacked by him?
Yeah.
All right. Tell me the story there.
Now, you know, envy and jealousy are two strange entities, right? And must have been something like that. He discovered another guitar player called Philip Kettering. And he was supposed to be real better and this and that. And, you know, I was voted number one everywhere, even Japan and this and that. So that probably created a aggravation thing or something.
Well, I'm sure he wasn't better than you were, because, I mean, there's nobody that I've heard of that's gotten the accolades that you've gotten. I mean, what is it like to have all these wonderful, famous, world-famous guitarists sing your praises?
I'm flattered.
I am sure you are.
I'm just flattered. Thank you, very Dutch.
Hi, everybody. This is Robert Miller, your host. As a musician and composer, I've crossed multiple genres. My early work includes jazz rock instrumentals like Spring Dance. And ballads like Ma Petite Fleur. Later on, I segued into vocal songs like Redemption Road.
But I'll come back strong, trying to stay on Redemption Road. I try to rise, make you surprise, Redemption Road.
And along the way, I added collaborations with world-class musicians like Jim Peterik, Elliot Randall, and Tony Carey on The Fall of Winter.
He said, stand tall to yourself, be true. Don't let the fall of winter get the best of you. Had a voice like a boat from the blue. Don't let the fall of winter make a fool of you. Don't let the fall of winter make a fool of you.
I also pride myself on the reimagined covers I've done, including The In Crowd.
I'm in with the in crowd. I go where the in crowd goes. I'm in with the in crowd. And I know what the in crowd knows. Yeah, yeah.
And then recently, I've come full circle with The Rich Ones, a jazz instrumental with guest artist Randy Brecker. For me, crossing genres helps keep the music fresh. Once again, I want to thank you all for listening to this podcast, and keep on rocking. All right, listen, we've got some stuff to play here. So I want to get to the Songfest portion of this show to let people really hear what you've been doing for all these years. And in no particular order, I'm starting off with the song Spiritual Privacy, which is an acoustic guitar thing from you.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about that.
Well, I didn't expect to do another album because I'm 77, you know, and that time I was 3 or 4 years younger. So this guy from Mascot Records is a Dutch guy and runs all these things with Joe Bonamassa, all these big acts. And he wanted me to do a solo album. Okay. And I just started from scratch. And this is why I called the first piece, called it, what was it called? Privacy.
Spiritual privacy.
Yeah. And it went on. I had my, conservatory teacher, Koen Molenaar, who has his own jazz band, and also David Mares Oyens, he plays the bass there, and Marijn, he does top 40 orchestras, you know, but he's a great drummer, great player. And I get it, that stuff, you know, just went into the studio 3 or 4 days, and this is what came out.
It was a fantastic piece. I mean, you still got your chops, I'll tell you that.
Well, thank you. It riddles me too.
All right, let's go to the next one. This is Tommy's Anniversary. And this was a little different. This was a longer piece. It was about 8 minutes. I think it's kind of a fusion type of thing.
Of course it is.
Tell me a little bit about this one.
In the Focus days, we recorded a song called Tommy. And it was, and for me, I picked that song. And it's written by a guy called Tom Barlaag from another band. But I liked the composition because it reminded me of Cannibal Adderley. And if there's one thing I love is, you know, bebop, Adderley, Barker, of course. I never could play that stuff, but I make my own impressions of that. And that's why I call it Tommy's Anniversary.
Uh-huh.
You know, 50 years later, I recorded this thing in the 70s, Tommy. And 50 years later, this was his anniversary. So that's also a kind of fusion.
So I'm curious, if you like Cannibal Adderley, I'm sure you know that Joe Zawinul from Weather Report was in that group.
Yes, of course.
Were you a fan of Weather Report?
Of course. That's the first thing I asked you. How's the weather?
I didn't realize you were talking about the band.
Yeah, right. Of course, I loved that band. It was getting, you know, the same thing with Chaco. You know, he had the same thing with Joe, and Chaco wanted to take over or whatever it was.
Yeah. I'm very excited because I have Peter Erskine, who was one of the drummers with Weather Report, coming on the podcast in a couple of weeks. And they were one of my favorite bands of all time. I mean, you just can't get better than them.
Of course, of course. This man is a great player. Great player. But there's a lot of good drummers. I like Pierre van der Linde from Focus. I played with him since we were 11 years old. And then, well, suddenly happened, it happens and that happens. You know, it drifting apart. And now he plays again with Focus, all that old stuff. And I'm glad I don't have to do that. I'm glad I don't have to do it. But still legal and legitimate.
You ever go back and do kind of a concert with the Focus guys again? Or when you left, was that it?
No, I'm too old for that. I'm not trying to live. I'm not trying to pretend I'm 18 again on stage, you know.
Well, your hair isn't quite as long as it was back then.
Well, the Indians got me. Don't they all.
Let's go to the next one. The next one is called The Good Old Days.
Thank you.
Is this a cover song? Have I heard this one before?
Of course. It all sounds familiar somehow. It's an old hymn. I say that hymn? Hymn?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's an English Churchill type hymn. Maybe you picked that one up.
Well, it's a very pretty melody, of course, and it's a song title that you've heard before. When I was listening to it, I said, this is just ringing a bell for me. I thought that I had heard it before. But tell me about it. Tell me about the recording.
I did that one at home together with my little instruments here and just guitar and my automatical friend George on keyboards, right? And drums. It's all self-programmed.
You did it all yourself.
And I wanted you to hear it.
Well, like I said, it's a lovely melody. It's a little bit different from the other stuff that you sent me. It's kind of more traditional. That's the way I would define it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Next one is called Retrospection, Emotional Debris. This one starts out with that guitar organ thing going. Tell us about this one.
In the focus day, I came up with the idea using Bartok, Béla Bartok, the Hungarian composer. And I especially like that part of the concert for orchestra. The other riffraff, okay, you know, but it wasn't ringing a bell. But I wanted to have something in this CD that is typical that guitar sounds. And it's the intro from, I think, the fifth or the fourth movement for concert for orchestra from Béla Bartók. And that's the opening. And then it goes to, you name it, I don't know.
You know, you have a certain sound on your guitar, which you've had forever. You can kind of recognize a Jan Ackerman song and solo from very far away, so to speak.
I'm very grateful for that. You know that?
Well, I'm glad that you gave it to us, okay?
Thank you very much.
There's a handful of guitarists that I listen to that you just know immediately when you hear them that it's them. And the first one that comes to mind is Carlos Santana. He's got such a distinctive style.
Yeah. He even wrote a piece called Europe. And it's kind of my style of playing. Only one aspect, but he recognized it.
There you go.
I'm very thankful for that.
Was there anybody that inspired you in particular on the guitar?
You have to start with the beginning. The thing that really inspired me was, of course, Arthur Smith, Guitar Boogie. But Django.
Django Reinhardt.
Django Reinhardt. That's my man. And the thing is, The crazy thing about it is that my father was in the secondhand car business, anything that sold or didn't sell. That, you know, he was just a business guy. Yeah. And he took me to the gypsy camp on halfway between Amsterdam and Harlem. You have the gypsy camp, it's called Halfway.
Uh-huh.
And I got accordion lessons from Tablo Rosenberg. And Tablo was, he taught me the accordion, the button accordion as well, you know, as well as the normal rap lessons.
Right.
And the thing was that at a certain time, my old man said, come on, man, we're going to visit. We're going to Den Oudendael. It's an old Grand Café in Wassenaar. It's the riff, where the riffraff lives. But there's this royal orchestra by Tato Mirando, and they played there. They rehearsed there. And they put me in this chair right in front of the orchestra. There were no public there. So they were rehearsing. They put me right in front of the orchestra. After that, I haven't been able to go normal again, what goes for, you know. But meanwhile, my old man was dealing cars, guns, anything. And I was just watching there, you know, just totally flabbergasted by the spirit of those guys playing there.
Yeah, that whole Django Reinhardt gypsy jazz guitar thing. I just had on the podcast another guitarist you may know of, named John Jorgensen.
As Stochelo Rosenberg. His name is Stochelo Rosenberg. You heard of the Rosenberg Trio? Trio?
Yes.
They play with Stefan Krapelli.
Okay.
They play all the festivals you can think of. And there's a great gypsy scene here in Holland.
Interesting.
You know, which I love, because this is it's good music. Good yes. food.
And John was describing to me, because I didn't know the intricacies of jazz guitar, gypsy jazz guitar, that it's a different kind of guitar. It's set up differently. And that's one of the reasons why you get that different sound for it.
Oh, yeah. That's the model Django used to play before 1932 or something like that. And actually, they made me a signature model of the same factory.
Fantastic.
We call it Jan, you know, Diangology.
There you go.
I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of that.
Well, you should be. I would be remiss if I didn't play at least one of those great songs of yours from Focus. So whether you like it or not, I got Hocus Pocus going on right underneath me now. Listen, they were big hits in the day, and I always ask my guests, tell me a little bit about it.
And Hocus Pocus is fine, except after 10 million times, you get a certain aversion to it.
Well, you know, there are some artists out there that are playing their one hit over and over and over again for 50 years.
Yeah, but thank God I can afford it not to.
All right, I understand completely.
Isn't that a nice answer or not?
Yes, that's a lovely answer, okay? And I'm with you on that. If I had to play the same song night after night after night, it would drive me crazy too. Anyway, we have been speaking here with the great Jan Ackerman, one of the greatest guitarists, voted the world's best guitarist at one time. He's got every other great guitarist in the world singing his praises. Jan, I want to thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's been such a trip.
My pleasure. It's great talking to you.
Fantastic. We're going to listen now to that song of mine that started off the podcast, and it's called Lose Blues. I want to thank you all for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Follow Your Dream podcast. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast so you don't miss another inspiring episode. You can connect with Robert at robert@followyourdreampodcast.com. And you can hear more from his band at projectgrandslam.com. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.